Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go directly to our phone lines and talk with Barbara listening to us on WAVA in Baltimore. Hi, Barbara.
Barbara.
Oh, hi. How are you? My church is like very adamant about saying that to know that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. But after reading 1 Corinthians 14, I don't believe that, and I feel really bad about it. They just point blank said I don't have the Holy Spirit because I don't speak in tongues. But it says in 1 Corinthians 14:39, brethren, covet to prophesying and forbid not to speak in tongues. And if speaking in tongues was so critical evidence of having the Holy Spirit indwell in you, why would the Bible put that secondary to prophesying? And especially after Corinthians, it never mentions tongues again.
Well, that's exactly right. And the whole point of Paul's discussion of that particular gift was brought about because of the misuse of that particular gift within the Corinthian church. I mean, they were a mess.
Being chattering, they were divided.
Stuttering. They were divided.
Yeah.
It was awful. They would get drunk at the Lord's Supper. The rich folks would gather, and you know, all the haves would make fun of those that had nothing, and they created division there. And then there was the spiritual pride, the spiritual one-upmanship, those who spoke in tongues. And of course, we fail to realize that a lot of what these Corinthians were bringing to the table were just stuff that they had in their pagan religions. I mean,
this was
a bunch
satanic
of Gentiles that used to speak in ecstatic utterances as part of their religious way of life, and they just brought that over. And it just caused mass confusion, and Paul said, stop it. Stop it. This isn't the way of the Lord. What you're doing at the Lord's Supper, I can't even call that the Lord's Supper. I can't call anything what you're doing of the Lord. You're carnal. You're acting as worldly people. And that's why he says, let me show you the most excellent way. And that's why, you know, sandwiched between chapters 12 and 14 is this incredible definition of love. And that's how we know we have the Spirit of God living in us, when we see the love of God pouring out of us. I love what John wrote in his first letter. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. What is the evidence of God's Spirit in us? It's love one for another. It's an understanding of the love of God that's been given to us in Christ.
So I don't see really anywhere in Scripture where it says that you have to speak in a strange tongue to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Am I right? So I'm right about that?
You are absolutely right, Barbara.
In fact, Barbara, it says just the opposite.
My church has made me feel basically like I have a blockage of the Holy Spirit because I don't speak in tongues. But I've heard people in my church speaking almost gibberish, like stuttering. And I'm like, I get nervous about that. I'm very nervous. And because I'm just a lay person in that church, and I openly admit that I'm a sinner in that church, that they feel that there's something blocking me from having the Holy Spirit. But
that's all they want you to do, Barbara, is to have, you know, to have that experience. And when you have that experience, then they feel like you're now a part of what they are, and validate their belief system. But anytime you're glorifying yourself, and that's basically what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 14, that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You're missing
exactly.
the
That's
gospel story.
Corinthians.
Yeah, you're missing the
right.
gospel story. The gospel
right.
story is all about Jesus, and those folks who are controlled by the Spirit of God are always bringing praise and glory to Jesus Christ, to no other person.
Right.
That's what the Spirit does. He takes the things of the Lord Jesus.
His word is what's supposed to be truth, and if I don't find it in God's word, then I don't believe it's true, but I get so much static at my church because I don't speak in tongues. I don't even feel that the Lord wants me to speak in tongues.
Well, it basically sounds like they're treating you as a second class citizen, and
I didn't feel that way. Yeah,
that's just not the way of the Lord.
I'm right
though, right? That
yes, you are.
That's
in
not,
chapter 12.
That's not evidence.
Yeah, go back
yeah,
to First
Corinthians. My scripture. Yay!
Yeah, go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and look at verses 29 and 30. Paul asks a series of questions, and the answer to each question is no. Are all apostles? No.
Because of what that gentleman was saying on the first half about speaking in tongues, and I just like, well, you know what? I've studied scripture, and I don't see that anywhere. So
yeah, it's not there. In fact, the opposite is.
Yeah. Well, Barbara,
thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Art of Spiritual Warfare by Andrew Farley. You hold on, okay?
Thanks, Barbara. And this book is available to all of our listeners, Bob and Richard, for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And to find the prominent link on the homepage, simply go to basicgospel.net. You'll find that link right there, basicgospel.net. Or call during Central Time office hours and ask our operator for your copy and make your gift. 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 for the book on spiritual warfare.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think we just encountered a little bit of what spiritual warfare is.
Oh, yeah.
Someone saying that you have to speak in tongues as evidence of the gift of God's Spirit. You can't find that in the Word of God.
It's not there.
So if it's not in the Word of God, it can't be true. And if it's not true, it has to be a lie. Well, if you're involved in a church and all the leadership is just hammering on you that you've got to speak in tongues, and you're just a normal person and you're not very versed in what the Word of God has to say, you're going to be led down that path.
Yes.
I remember one of the guys on our staff, when he came to Christ, he was so excited. This was years ago. He's moved on and doing well in his own business now, but he was so excited about what he had heard in this gospel story. He had been involved in drugs and just immediately released from that. And he experienced this new life, and he started going to this church, and he was excited to learn and to grow in the love of God. And pretty soon the leadership was saying, well, you know, for you to be a real Christian, you have to speak in tongues. And, you know, it just didn't feel right. But he tried. He tried, and he was led into a room, and they said, this is what you need to do. Just open up that throat and start wiggling that tongue, and hopefully something will come out. And it's like, gosh, this just can't be. This just doesn't match up with the good news that they told me. And so he had discernment enough to walk away. But that's part of it. We get so caught up in these things that we are supposed to be doing. And that's where spiritual warfare is at its strongest, most intense, when we get swept away on what we are supposed to do. That's why we have so many divisions. That's why there's so many different denominations, because one person says, well, you have to be baptized, but you can't just be baptized by sprinkling. You have to do it this way, or this way. And the Lord is up there saying, do any of you not realize what Jesus has accomplished? He's the one that's important here. It's his work that is significant. We need to take a look at what he's done, and if we will, and learn what it means to walk by faith in him, all the rest will take care of itself, and you will see a body that's actually united, not divided.
Absolutely. Well, you found Basic Gospel with Richard Piper, Bob Christopher. My name is Bob Davis. We have open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Las Cruces, New Mexico, and talk with Felipe, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Felipe.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. I have a question concerning Ray Comfort. Are you familiar with him?
Somewhat, not too familiar.
Well, pretty much it's just the fact that he's evangelizing and telling people that they've, they're sinning by breaking God's commandments. And I'm trying to, to reconcile the fact that my understanding is that the commandments were nailed to the cross, the law was nailed to the cross, and that Jesus took it out of the way. And that since it's out of the way, what keeps a person from going to heaven is not breaking the commandments, but rejecting Christ.
Well, Felipe, I don't know what he would be doing with that other than trying to point out somebody's need for Christ. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe they sin. And I'm assuming, now I don't know, I've never talked to Ray Comfort, I've never met him, I've never spent a lot of time looking at any of the resources that he has. I've seen some snippets of things that he's done. But I would assume that what he's trying to do is to bring somebody to the point of seeing their need for a Savior. And really, that's all the law does is points out our need for Christ.
Okay, so when he's saying that you're going to hell because of the sins of breaking God's law?
Well, I think that's a wrong conclusion. The only reason somebody is going to remain dead spiritually is their rejection of God's offer of life in Christ. So unbelief is the unpardonable sin, basically. So it's not these sins that we do, because Jesus' work has taken care of that. And as a matter of fact, we can say to any lost person just what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God is not counting your sins against you. God is not dealing with you on that basis. You're dead. You need life. Here is Jesus, who was raised to life, who has become the life giver. Would you receive life through faith in him? That's the real issue. So sins have been dealt with once and for all. That removed the barrier. And that's for all people. And now the issue is really this issue of life. Do you want to choose life, or do you want to remain dead?
Yes. Because Jesus, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world."
Absolutely.
He purged our sins. He took them away. And then it says he remembers our sins and lawless deeds no more.
Yeah. So, Felipe, I think that's what we tell people, that God isn't counting your sins against you. Now, if somebody says, "Well, wait a minute, I don't sin. I'm a good person. I'm basically a good person." Then they don't have a need, or at least they don't perceive
they have a need. Yeah.
So then you just allow God's Spirit to direct that conversation as he sees fit, to bring them to a point that they can see that there truly is a need in their hearts for Christ.
Agree. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for your call, Felipe. Great question today.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Dana, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Dana.
Hey, brothers. One more question, if you want. I'm really looking forward to this month. I really need to hear this. But I just had one question, and Jesus said that we're supposed to be all one in Christ, and all this fault-finding and judging. Matthew chapter 7, he's been homeschooling me for 5 years, but I am a follower and a believer of my Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm bearing my cross, but I don't see anything in there, and I'm not the greatest reader because he's teaching me how to read, that he's asking me to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. It just seems like it's a lot of peer pressure. There's only one Christ, and it was Jesus Christ that did it all and never sinned. Where did the Christian name come from?
Richard, where did the name Christian first come from? Where was it first used?
Surprisingly, perhaps, it comes right straight out of the Bible. If you look in Acts 11 and down in verse 25 and 26, the story goes, "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch." This is Antioch, Syria. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, And the reason they were called Christians is because they talked about Christ. They talked about Jesus Christ. And the people of the city said, oh, well, those are Christians. It wasn't necessarily a good term. They just identified them by who they talked about all the time. Yeah. And that's all it meant, and that's all it needs to mean for us. It means that we are Christ followers.
Yeah, that we're identified with him.
Yes.
We're identified with Jesus Christ. And so,
well, amen, brothers. That makes sense. And thank you for clarifying that. Bless your hearts, and thank you.
You're welcome, Dana. Always nice to hear from you. God bless.
God bless.
Let's go down to Houston, Texas, and talk with Ronald, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Ronald.
Yes, how y'all doing, brother?
We're doing well. How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
Well, good. How can we help you?
I want to try to explain 2 Timothy verse, chapter 4, verses 2 through 4.
Well, there's really not a lot to explain. This is Paul giving Timothy some strong words of advice and encouragement. Preach the word. Don't preach anything else. Preach the word of God. Preach the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Certainly, I think we're seeing that time today. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Certainly, we've seen that through history. We see it today. We saw it in past generations. They were witnessing it way back then. So Paul was simply saying, stick to the word of God. People may not like it. You may have to step on toes, but leave the results of that in God's hands.
Yes, and that's what people don't understand. As Christians, you know, I've been saved for almost 8 years, you know, and God wanted, you know, and we are supposed to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, you know, and when Jesus preached on earth, you know, he preached about hell more than he preached about heaven, you know. And a lot of teachers there, they just preaching on prosperity, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a subject we like. I want to be prosperous. I want to be healthy. I want to have my best life now. But there's realities that we need to address. And for those that are lost and dead in sin, they need to know that. They need to know their condition, that they're dead spiritually. And when they understand that, then the gospel comes to life. Now they can recognize why Jesus had to do what he did. And so they can receive that life. So, yes, we need to be very focused on what truth is. Not only the truth about God is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, but the truth about man. When those two truths collide, we have life change.
And that's what Jesus told the rich man. He told the rich man to walk with him, and he said, you know, he told him that what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And he said, what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? You know, so eternal life is you know, because everything on earth is going to be burnt up when the second coming of Jesus Christ come back. You know, so a lot of people are this. Jesus told people to store your treasures in heaven, not on earth.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, as Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5. And really, when it ultimately comes down to it, the only thing that matters is man and his relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the real issue.
Sir.
And that's why this gospel message is so important to be delivered out there so folks can truly connect or be connected to Jesus Christ once and for all. Well, Ronald, great question today. We certainly appreciate hearing from you. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Operation Screwtape.
Can I say one more thing before I go?
Okay.
And we have to tell the truth, but we have to tell the truth in love, you know, because God is love.
Yeah.
You know, but we have, as Christians, we have to tell the truth. You know, sometimes the truth, but it's going to help. It's going to help the other person. You know, to repent from the sins. You know, and turn to God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ronald.
I like y'all show.
Hey, thank you, Ronald. Thanks for your call. You hold on. We'll send you this book. Okay.
And we'll talk about that just a little bit more in just a couple of minutes when we close the broadcast.
Let's go to Raceland, Louisiana, and talk with Darlene, listening to us on WLNO. Nice to hear from one of our WLNO listeners today.
Indeed.
Hey, Darlene.
Hey, Pastor Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good in God. I was just listening to one of your callers talking about the speaking in tongues.
Yes.
And I found something on the internet one day. I was just looking, because years ago I had struggled with this. Not really struggled. I just have never, ever accepted that there was a thing that you had to speak in tongues, you know, as far as being a Christian and baptized in Christ. And because you should, you know, be able to understand the simplicity of the gospel just as you bring it, y'all bring it on this broadcast, and which is greatly appreciated also, mind you. But it was saying, how do frogs capture their breath? And they say, by their tongues. And it says that you can't, people fall for falsehoods of doctrines and things like that simply because God's word cannot be preached as a falsehood. You know, it is pure truth. And it talks about the three unclean spirits. I just found it interesting that they brought that up, saying tongues should be the easiest to detect as a false doctrine, because your tongue is used to spread errors. The tongue falsely can prophesy and predict, and it spreads, and tongues are being literally used by those captured by the movement. And I feel like it is a movement that's spread throughout that people just have accepted into and not really studying this thing for themselves. But this is a chapter 14 to me, clearly, you know, it's not for edifying of self.
Yeah, that's,
you know, it's not exhorting anybody else. If you bursting out speaking in another something that I don't understand, then,
well, Darlene, here I think the real issue behind tongues, why it's so important, as a caller said on the previous program, it's evidence that you've been saved. So the real issue is assurance of salvation. How do you know that you're saved? And someone that believes that tongues is necessary for salvation, what they're doing is relying on that gift as a spiritual security blanket. But I'm telling you, there's assurance in the gospel message itself. The work of Jesus Christ to take away sin once and for all is the guarantee of our salvation. The fact that He raises us from death to life is a guarantee of our salvation. The fact that He sends His Spirit into our hearts, the Spirit who bears witness with our human spirits that we're children of God, is assurance of salvation. So if we can see the assurance that the gospel itself holds out, then we can objectively look at this spiritual gift of tongues and actually read the scripture in the way that it's really laid out for us, where we don't have to project into it. We don't have to try to make it say what we want it to say. We can actually let it speak for itself, and we can get the real skinny on what Paul is saying there. Well, Darlene, we certainly appreciate your call today, and thanks for your great question. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book as well, okay?
And please keep in mind, everybody, that we need your ongoing support to keep Basic Gospel on the air. And to say thank you for your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of that book by Andrew Farley, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, good during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. Again, thanks for joining us. And now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.